We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back to the program. Lori Rubenson here with you. And, well, you know what? A week from now, when you hear my voice, the Giants and Jets, they will have played a game. NFL season kicks off this week. To talk about Giants, Jets, the league, we bring in the NFL insider to SNY, Ralph Vacchiano. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing well. You know, we're not going to ease into this thing. We're going to, right off the bat, I'm going to give you a hard one.
Okay.
So you ready? It's a game of would you rather for a question. And the would you rather is, if I gave you the choice for now and moving forward into the future, would you rather have the general manager, head coach, quarterback combination for the Giants or the Jets?
Oh, no question. I would think the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know that I'm not down on the Giants one. I think that the Giants might have the better year this year, but I think if you're looking for the future, that has operated so well and is so well respected. I think it's a trio that's going to last for a long time. I'm not sure of the same can be said of the trio on the Giants side.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest thing actually is the general manager. I know we don't have a huge body of work on the Jets yet, and obviously we don't know what Robert Saleh will be as a head coach. We've seen him as a successful defensive coordinator. So very small sample size, not even including coaching a game. Same with Zach Wilson. Nothing. We don't know much yet, but I think you say well-respected, the biggest piece is to me the general manager. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. I think the quarterback is a big part of that for me as well. Look, you're exactly right. The Jets trio, it's all about hope. I can't with a straight face tell you I know what Zach Wilson and Robert Saleh are going to be. And even Joe Douglas, you know, didn't have a great first year as GM, but I think he's made all the right moves. The problem is when you look at the Giants side, other than Joe Judge, you know, Dave Gettleman has a poor track record. Daniel Jones has a poor track record. So you've seen a little of them where you go, I don't know if this is quite going to work or not. And, definitely both of them have their doubters around the league and certainly around this area. You know, we'll find out this year whether they're right or not, or whether, you know, they knew what they were doing all along. But it's certainly right to question it because the record has been poor.
So that leads to, for Dave Gettleman, what, you know, is it a record that you need to see? What does he need, you know, a year from now, if the Giants have what record does, you know, if you were making the decisions, does Dave Gettleman get to keep the job versus you say, as you said, it's been poor now for a few years, a year from now, it's time to move on?
Wow, that's a really good question. It's and it's something that I don't know that John Mara has really answered even for himself. Mm-hmm. I know he said, as usual, I want to see progress and the arrow pointing up, and all that is great and normally what you want to see. But look, I actually think Dave has built this team over the last couple of years in the right direction. But we are at the point where it either, you know, everything comes together now or it doesn't. You can't really wait anymore. It's been 4 years of rebuilding. 6-10 last year, what do they need to be? I would argue at least 500, or, you know, I know there's
weird schedule, 17, so 9-8.
Yeah, and 9-8, I mean, 8-9, 9-8, if you're in that area and you're in the playoff chase right until the end, I might say, okay, we're going in the right direction. We're getting there. You take the next step. A lot of it is going to be how it happened. I agree with John Mara's philosophy of not putting a win total on it because, look, if Saquon Barkley blows out his knee in week two and Daniel Jones gets hurt again, mm-hmm. it's going to be hard for them to get to 500, and that's sort of hard to pin on the general manager. But if everything is equal and you know, most of the players are in place, I would think, you know, if I'm not 9-8 and in the mm-hmm. playoff hunt right until the end, I've got a big decision to make when the season's over.
Speaking of big decisions to make when the season is over. So, yeah. Daniel Jones, what do you need to see from Daniel Jones to feel comfortable at the end of the season? Because really, at that point, you know, then the Giants start to have a Jets decision. You know, the Jets let Sam Darnold, you know, they traded him. They let him go, and they, you know, started again with a new young quarterback. You look at this Giants roster, and some of the other pieces are in place for that team to win besides maybe the right offensive line. They need still maybe some help edge rusher. Those are big, big pieces. But still, you know, whether they go out and get a veteran quarterback that's out there or reset with a rookie or whatever it is, Daniel Jones, what do you need to see from him that you'd be confident to say, all right, it's time to invest in that second contract?
You know, it's hard to put numbers on it. You know, you'd want to see what a lot of quarterbacks nowadays will give you, the 3,500 plus yards, the 30 touchdowns. You want to see him not, be up there in interceptions. If it stays somewhere around 12 or so for the year, you feel better about it. But I think mostly I want to see this offense not struggle mm-hmm. under his direction. You know, they were 31st. In the NFL last year, only the Jets were worse. And if he's directing an offense that's 24th, 25th, that's not good enough. There's too many weapons there, even with the offensive line not being great. I want to see him, you know, win a few games for them. I want to see him be competent most of the year. It's not even to the point where maybe a year ago you might say, well, if the arrow's pointing up at the end of the season, that's great. You know, you're past that. It's year three. You need to see that he is a real NFL quarterback. And, you know, the bar actually for him might even be higher from wherever I normally would have set it because, you know, the Giants have those two first-round picks next year, mm-hmm. which are huge.
Yeah.
And, you know, they might be in a position to get up near the top of the draft if even just one of those picks ends up in the top 10. Obviously, if the Giants pick is up in the top 10, you know, somebody else make the decision, it might be easy for them. But if they – you know, they could end up with a Sam Darnold situation where if Daniel Jones looks okay, well, they might have a better option sitting there, you know, if they can get up to one or two. So, you know, Daniel Jones probably needs to clear a pretty high bar to guarantee that he'll be the quarterback of the future there.
Yeah, and you're right that the offense looked – it just looked so difficult and such a struggle last year. Yet, I go back the year before with a Pat Shurmur offense, and the big problem for Daniel Jones, of course, was all the fumbles. And there wasn't much of a running game, but the passing game, Daniel Jones, you know, it was 24 touchdowns, 12 interceptions in 12 starts. And it did feel like that offense, I mean, they scored about 4 points more per game, and they just looked like a as you said, it just didn't look as difficult.
Yeah. Oh, that rookie year to me was everything you could want for him. You know, mm-hmm. It was hard because Saquon Barkley was hurt for a lot of it. And, you know, the offensive line, as always, was no good. But he thrived in it. And it didn't happen last year. And, you know, there certainly were a lot of reasons for that. He was hurt as well. But, you know, this year, again, if the pieces are sort of in place, if Saquon is back, he's got, you know, Kenny Golladay now a receiver. You've added weapons. You know, Kadarius Toney, if he ever plays, Kyle Rudolph. You should have enough there for him not to have the excuse he had last year, where he was basically just throwing to nobody. The offense, you know, I'd like to see him look more like his rookie year, only to take the step that I thought he would have taken last year. You know, mm-hmm. go from that 24-12 to 30-12, and you know, just put up better numbers. To, like you said, you know, to where you're not looking at it going, why is this so hard? Right. It should not be this hard.
Right. And it did seem very different to me from his rookie year to last year in terms of why is this so hard. Last year looked hard. And then I wonder, Ralph, at the end of the season, you know, or even just as we watch it, have the Giants, if you're Dave Gettleman, your job depends on the success of Daniel Jones. He's really going to be your legacy as Giants general manager in many ways. How do you explain both the decisions in the offensive line as well as I know that they always talk about continuity, that you don't want a lot of different offensive systems, but if my eyes tell me that the Pat Shurmur system certainly looked easier for Daniel Jones and better for that offense 2 years ago, and with Jason Garrett, the running game looked pretty good, passing game looked atrocious. Was it the right thing to, you know, I understand sometimes you want change, you don't want change, but if it's a bad system, or is it the offensive line? Have they put him in a situation where they may make a decision to move forward, but where we will be able to accurately judge?
Yeah, it's a good question. And last year left me with a lot of questions where I answer, I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to get on Jason Garrett for a terrible offense last year, and that's fine, except Saquon Barkley was taken out of it in week two. Daniel Jones was hurt the entire second half of the season. The offensive line had injury issues, so Sterling Shepard was hurt, you know, and on and on and on. So many weapons were taken away. I don't really know what Jason Garrett's offense was supposed to be or whether it's any good. Mm-hmm. I just know that we better see it this year. And, you know, the offensive line was kind of the same way. I give them a little bit of a pass. I don't know if they're right about this, but they like their five guys who are starters, and they believe that they are going to be good offensive linemen and probably this year. We certainly haven't seen that. I can't say I'm in love with Andrew Thomas as the left tackle of the future, and you know, even Matt Parrott at right tackle has been shaky to me, but the Giants really believe in them. And, you know, they did have a couple of veteran backups that unfortunately retired on them early in training camp. So that, you know, made some of the depth a problem. But, you know, they're going to be proven right or wrong on this offensive line. They like these five guys. Nobody else seems to like them. But, you know, it's one of those things where Dave Gettleman is going to get judged on that. He's sort of stuck with this all along, and this is the year we have to find. There's no more growing. You find out now whether he made the right decisions or the wrong ones.
So what's your prediction, Giants record at the end of the season? What are you expecting?
Well, you know, I went into training camp expecting around 500. Mm-hmm. You know, I probably would have predicted 8-9 just because I thought it would have been a little bit of a tougher division. I have to tell you, I don't like what I saw this summer. Yeah. It's really made me nervous about them. The offensive line did not look good. Mostly, I think what had me nervous is all the injuries. You know, I don't know when Kenny Golladay or Kadarius Toney or Kyle Rudolph are going to be able to be parts of the offense. The offense did not get much time to play together. So I sort of wonder if they're not going to be in for a slow start because of it. So, you know, I guess I'll probably stick in the end with my 8-9 prediction. But, you know, normally I'd say, oh, 8 or 9 wins. I might have to lower that to the 7 or 8 wins because, mm-hmm. you know, I really do think they're in line for a slow start because of all of the offensive injuries they had. There's just going to be no cohesion on that side of the ball.
Talking to Ralph Vacchiano about the Giants and now the Jets. And, Ralph, so turning to the Jets, you have the first-year head coach. You have the rookie quarterback. So what does success look like for the Jets this season? Is it about the record? Is it much more about player development? Or does it really just come down to knowing at the end of the year if Zach Wilson is the right quarterback?
You know, I always go back to 2004, which is the first year under Tom Coughlin mm-hmm. and Eli Manning.
Yep.
And you know, it was a different scenario because Eli didn't start, but he was terrible when he first came in. And, you know, the team looked terrible. But by the end of the year, over those last couple of weeks, you started to see flashes and signs that, all right, you know, maybe they're putting something together here. Maybe they can, you know, be better than we think in year two. And I think that's sort of the grand hope for the Jets. I would not focus on the record. I think that, you know, there's going to be a couple of wins that you never expected because Zach Wilson will just be so good. There will be a losing streak that will make you want to pull your hair out because he'll be so bad. And that's just the way it goes with rookie quarterbacks. And, you know, you hope by the end of the year, he's putting some more consistency together. And you know, that in the month of December, maybe they'll be out of it by then. But in the month of December, you'll start to think, all right, you know, maybe next year is finally the year we've been waiting for. Maybe we can do something here.
You've covered a lot of training camps, obviously, NFL training camps so far in your career. What's your impression so far of Robert Saleh and the camp he ran?
I found him really impressive and inspiring to the players. You know, I've certainly seen a lot of new coaches come in, and they all have optimism, and they all want to, you know, talk up their programs, and players want to believe. Even when Adam Gase took over, I mean, Ben McAdoo took over, players wanted to believe in their new coach, but not all of them can sort of command the room and really make them buy into a philosophy the way I think Robert Saleh has. It just, his presence is impressive. It has helped that, you know, they have turned this entire roster over, and there are young guys everywhere. They're always much more impressionable in their first or second year. But he has changed the tone and the tenor of this organization in a way that I mean, the last time I saw it in a different way, it was probably Tom Coughlin, who came in, you know, like an army general and yelling and screaming and demanded respect. Robert Saleh is much quieter, but he's done the same thing in terms of, you know, taking a franchise that had been losing and turn them into believing that they've got something building for the first time in a while.
Which coach besides Robert Saleh are you going to be watching this season?
In the entire NFL?
No, sorry. Within the Jets. Sorry. Assistant coaches, you know, so we got the head coach, but who else, you know, give me some guys, you know, is there somebody else, you know, offensive coordinator, LaFleur is an obvious one, but who do you have your eye on?
Yeah, I mean, LaFleur is an obvious one. I mean, it's a new role in the offense, and he's, you know, extremely young. You know, it's a system that worked in San Francisco, and it's a system that I think is going to be, you know, fantastic for the Jets if they run it the right way. I think there's probably a lot of pressure on him. But the other obvious one is the quarterback's coach, Rob Calabrese, because, mm-hmm. you know, you want to see growth out of Zach Wilson, and you want to see how he develops, and nobody works closer than the quarterback's coach with the franchise quarterback. So, you know, everybody around Zach Wilson has taken on an added importance to this organization because, you know, they're tied to him, and they do not want to, you know, be another three and out like they were with Sam Darnold. They're hoping this is an incredibly long-term thing, and, you know, that means developing him fast.
What can Jets fans, you mentioned all the young guys around this team, but what can Jets fans expect this season from C.J. Mosley, a veteran?
Well, I mean, assuming he stays healthy, he was everybody forgets this now because he opted out last year and didn't play the year before when he got hurt. There's a reason he got all that money. He's a really good player, a really good leader. And he looks, especially now that he's slimmed down, he looks much faster than I remember. You know, again, some of that, it's been 3 years since we've seen him, but, you know, he's got sideline to sideline speed now. He's got speed you can use as a blitzer. I think you'll see all that. I think he's going to be a playmaker back there, and I think you're going to hear a lot of the young guys, and there are going to be a ton of them, especially on defense. You know, they're going to talk about him as the guy that holds them together, the leader of that group, which is going to be so important.
All right, so record, your Jets prediction, what kind of record are you expecting?
I think they're probably in line for, you know, a 6-11 type of record. If I'm doing my math right, that's 17.
Yep.
Yeah, 6-11. You know, I think they're going to be very competitive. I love that they are this young. Sometimes that's going to lead to mistakes and breakdowns that are going to, again, make you want to pull your hair out. But I think they're going to play hard. You know, they're doing the right thing by, you know, sort of purging the veterans who are used to the losing and, you know, not bringing in a lot of guys who are retreads from other organizations. They're going with youth, which is going to bring energy. So I do think they're going to be competitive in a lot of games, but just the nature of a rookie quarterback. And I think the count was 8 or 9 rookies who will either be starters or key parts of the offense and defense. That's a lot. It's too many mistakes built into the unit that I think to predict them to win more than that. So 6-11 is probably what I would think.
All right. Well, last 30 seconds. What two teams are your Super Bowl matchup going in?
Oh, that is a really good question. I don't know how you go against the Chiefs. I mean, they look at this point like, you know, a dominant franchise that's going to be just year in and year out.
And they improve the offensive line, which I love.
Yeah, exactly. I think the Green Bay Packers are a good one to watch, too. Aaron Rodgers seems like a guy on a mission, and he played pretty well last year. So I think the Packers and Chiefs are a good Super Bowl pick. It might have been my pick last year, too, if I remember correctly. I'd have to look back on that.
And I think this is year two of Aaron Rodgers on the FU tour, where he's just angry, and I don't think that bodes well for the rest of the league. So that's probably a good bet. Ralph Vacchiano of SNY, have a great season, and we'll catch up with you down the road.
Thanks, Lori. Good talking to you.
All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with GameDay, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.